Today's gospel is one of my favorite texts in scripture. It really is what I like to call a sort of a treasure chest with rich gems and precious jewels. For example, it gives us foundational teaching on the sacraments, on grace, on marriage, on the Eucharist, and on the Blessed Virgin Mary. Think about this reading. Jesus changes water into wine. He takes a naturally good and healthy substance like water, essential to all of us, and transforms it into something more wonderful, more delicious, that lifts up our spirits and opens us up on a natural level to peace and joy. This is exactly what happens with the sacraments. For example, in baptism, Jesus takes a naturally good thing, water, and transforms it into a life-giving spring of grace, purifying us and pouring his life out on us. And we see in this reading also the effect of Jesus' grace, acting not only on the sacrament for the transformation, but also acting through the sacrament. In today's story, Jesus first, by his grace, transforms water into wine, but then that grace goes out through the wine and saves the wedding feast and transforms the couple's panic and embarrassment into joy. A lot like the Eucharist. When Jesus' grace transforms the bread and wine into his body and blood, that in turn strengthens us as and draws us closer to him as we receive the body and blood in communion. And if he can change water into wine, he can and does transform a natural and good and loving human relationship between a man and a woman into a communion of life and love that shares in the very life and love of God himself. And so we see that the sacrament of marriage is prefigured in the wedding at Cana. In fact, the church tells us that this is where Jesus institutes the sacrament of marriage. And then we see Mary. It's very interesting how this text begins. It says, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, period. Jesus was also invited. That's what it says. It's John's way, and John doesn't waste any words. Everything he says has a reason. And what he's saying here is, look, keep your eyes on Mary. This is a story that has a lot to do with her. She's essential to understanding it. And then he goes on and he says that the miracle is the beginning of Jesus' signs and so revealed his glory. In the same way, this is the beginning of Mary's signs, in a certain sense. Her great intercession for all of us. It's the first time she intercedes and thus reveals the glory that Jesus has given her as the great intercessor. And notice Jesus calls her woman. Now, some people think that this is him sort of being dismissive of her. You know, like maybe when you're arguing and your husband says, woman, leave me alone, or something like that. It's not what it means. It's more like my lady when he says it. It's a term of respect. And in particular, John uses this, and it's the words of Jesus, but he remembers this in particular because we remember in the Old Testament, in the third chapter of Genesis, the one who was going to come and have a son who will redeem the world is called the woman. And before her, in chapter 1 and 2, Eve is called the woman, but now there's another woman. And Mary is the woman. She is the new Eve. And Jesus has pointed this. You're the new Eve now. Like Eve had to give the apple to Adam, Mary had to draw out the miracle from Jesus. Mary said yes, Eve said no. And then without being asked, Mary sees the problem and brings it to Jesus. And it's interesting how John says, identifies her not as Mary, like St. Luke and St. Matthew do in their Gospels, but only as either woman or the mother of Jesus, which is her title. She is the mother of Jesus. So she goes to him as his mom and says, they need help, son. And that's what she does for us today too. And Jesus loves his mother and respects his mother and responds to his mother. And so she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. That's all she has to say. To Jesus through Mary. It's an amazing text. It's really full of all these beautiful things. It's a treasure chest. But like all treasure chests, sometimes when we focus on the most spectacular gems, we miss some of the other jewels that are not so stunning, but still are precious. And in this story, we have one of those, at least one of those. In particular, the servers. The story, if you will, of the servers here. It says that the servers bring the simple water to Jesus. And then they wind up taking the best wine ever made to the wedding guests. Think of this. They change. They are transformed from being mere waiters to being messengers of God. Like the angels are messengers, like the apostles are messengers, sent by Jesus now to distribute his grace to the wedding feast. They become just as much a part of the miracle as the water and wine and Mary and Jesus. And just as Mary is not equal to Jesus, but still has an essential role in his mission, the servants are clearly not equal to Jesus and Mary, but they are given by Jesus an essential role in his mission. How will the word go out? How will grace be spread if someone doesn't take it? I've been thinking a lot about this aspect of the text the last few weeks, actually. And it's proven to be a real pearl of great price to help me to understand something that I've been wanting to talk to you about for a while. And that is service in our parish. In other words, parishioners volunteering to help in the parish. In today's second reading, St. Paul tells us there are different forms of service, but the same Lord. This is something that really rings true and very practical in every parish, but clearly in ours. Think of all the different forms of service we have here. Begin, if you will, with the priests. Father Smith and I are here to serve as your priests. And we do that even in different ways. We do it by saying Mass, we do it by preaching, we do it by hearing confessions, by counseling, by administrating the finances and goods of the parish, by visiting the sick, all lots of different ways. Lots of different ways of service. And then there's the parish staff. Some of the staff runs the office, and some of the staff runs the bookkeeping, and some take care of the building. Some are responsible for forming your children. Lots of different forms of service. And then there's you. What is your service? Now, some serve the parish simply by being amazing and good parents. Some serve the parish by taking care of someone at home who's sick, being their caregiver. Some serve the parish by going out into the world and proclaiming the gospel by the way they work and live as civic leaders. But then again, even these people often find that the Lord is inviting them to serve the parish in a more direct and particular way here. St. Paul today goes on to talk about the spiritual gifts that each person has. He says, to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. Now, this is really kind of a weak translation of the Greek, especially the last part. I don't know why they translate it this way. This is the New American Bible. Every other Bible that you'll find, including if you look at the Greek, you see that it should be translated differently. It should say, to each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good or the benefit of all. God has given us all various gifts, both supernatural and natural gifts. And all of them are given to us for the common good. And so what I say to you, what natural gift has God given you for the common good? And how might He be asking you to use that for the common good at St. Raymond's? Now, unfortunately, it seems pretty clear that most parishioners don't do a lot of service in the parish. We have about 6,000 registered parishioners, of which a little over 2,300 come to Mass every Sunday. Of that, only about 300 people regularly commit to a particular role of service in the parish. And of those, maybe about 50 or so take many different roles of service. You see them everywhere. Now think about this. 300 people out of 6,000, or maybe 2,300. It seems like a lot of people only come to hear the word of God and receive the sacraments. Now, that's pretty good. I'm glad you're doing that. But they come to be served. It's as if they want to go to the wedding feast and enjoy everything, join the wine as guests, but they don't want to get up and pour a glass of wine for somebody else. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. By now you should know that I love this parish and I love my parishioners. You're great. And when one of these days the bishop's going to come to me and say he wants to transfer me, and by canon law I can say no. And I can sort of fight his move under injustice and in respect. And I will put up a fight. I don't want to leave. Okay. And I'm not picking on anybody, really. But I am inviting everybody. The truth is, Jesus established his church so that most of us would be served most of the time. Remember what Jesus says? I came not to be served, but to serve. I mean, we wouldn't be here if Jesus isn't serving us constantly. But St. Paul also tells us elsewhere, be servants to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, if you want to be like Christ, you have to also be a servant. Now, there are lots of ways to be servants here in the parish, and even sitting in the pews at Mass, you can serve each other and God by simply praying. Praying for each other, praying for the parish, giving glory to God. Or by being kind to each other, saying hello to each other when you come into the pew. Helping, find their place in a book or something like this. Or even by saying the prayers and singing the songs so that other people will join in. It's a great example and encourages them to do the same thing. But the thing is, there are also many other concrete and committed ways that God has given you to use the gifts meant to serve the common good of our parish. Now, some of you may be thinking this is a very clever way for Father to get some free help in the parish. Some of you may be thinking that it's a very stupid way for Father DeSalle to try to get some free help in the parish. But the thing is, I don't really need your help. At least not for my benefit. I mean, I could eliminate a lot of the things we do around here. We could end some of the programs. We could cancel some of the dinners. I could cancel some confessions and masses. And my life would be a lot easier. And the bishop wouldn't get mad at me. He wouldn't fire me. And he wouldn't dock my pay one penny. If you look around at some of the parishes, you'll see they're not nearly as active as we are. And the pastors are fine. My point is, this is not about my good. It's about the common good of our parish and about your own good. I don't want this parish to be fine or okay or good. I want it to be the best parish it can be. And by that I don't mean having the most things or the nicest things to do, but having the best things to help you live the Christian life in this world so that one day you can live the Christian life in heaven. And to do that, I absolutely do need your help. The truth is, Jesus calls us to serve Him and our neighbor. The first and second great commandments: love one another, love God. The way you show your love is as Jesus does, as a servant. And the thing is, He puts you right here, in this parish. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Can you truly be good if you are not a good servant in some way to them? Now, when I was the vicar at St. Mary's in Old Town, now it's called the Basilica of St. Mary, there were a lot of important people there who were parishioners. There was cabinet members, former Speaker of the House, generals, all sorts of people important in the world. So one day I'm having lunch at the White House, and one of these important people, nobody laughed. That was a joke. I actually was at the White House, but not like upstairs with the president. I was down in the basement with all the staff. There's a very nice little restaurant down there. Having lunch with one of my parishioners. And he tells me that he wants to get involved and more involved in the parish, and he wants to be on the finance council. And the thing is, he'd be very good at the finance council. If I told you his name, you'd recognize it, you'd recognize he'd be very good at the finance council. But I said to him, why don't you start with something a little simpler? And I asked him to be an usher. Now, he wasn't very happy about that. He was an important man in the world. And he thought, well, being on the finance council, that's much more important than being an usher. But he did it anyway. And then a few months later, we were having lunch again, and he thanked me profusely for having asked him to do that. Because, in his job, he was in a position where sometimes he became prideful or demanding or rude. And working as an usher was helping him to grow in patience, charity, and above all, humility. He found out how important it was to serve as an usher. And by serving, he became holy. Some people say, I'm too busy, Father, to help out in the parish. And I get that. Everybody's busy. I understand that. Some people are just really have too much on their plate. But on the other hand, I can think of at least three families, three couples in the parish who are constantly working and important at their jobs, demanding jobs, while also raising large families with lots of children, but also find the time to be the backbone of so many committees and activities in the parish that I really can't keep track of them all. They're busy, very busy, but somehow not too busy. Some say, but I don't really have any talents to offer, or, I'm not, my health isn't good, maybe even I'm homebound, I can't get out. I understand that too. But then I think of the elderly homebound parishioner who loved teenagers but couldn't figure out how she could help the youth apostolate until Jean found out that she wanted to help and asked her to make food and snacks for the kids' meetings. And so she became active in the parish by staying at home and doing things when she was up to it. The thing is, in the end, none of us has what it takes to be the servants we should be. But then we remember Cana, how Jesus took plain water and made it delicious wine. And he took simple waiters and they made them into messengers of God. Right now I can think of several particular needs we have for volunteers to serve. We need ushers, especially adult ushers. We need adults and young adults to work with the youth and the youth group. We need choir members, and we need Knights of Columbus. We don't just need Knights of Columbus, we need active Knights of Columbus. But there are dozens of other ways and more opportunities that you can have. If you look in today's bulletin, you find a list that we wrote up. So my point there being, look in the bulletin today. Take it home with you. And read it and pray about it. And ask the Lord to tell you, to show you. And then maybe make a call on Tuesday or later in the week. My friends, as we move more deeply into this Holy Mass, which as you know is the wedding feast of heaven come down to earth, the Blessed Mother is here with us also. Ask her to intercede for you. To go to her Son and ask Him to show us how He wants us to serve Him and each other. And as Jesus transforms the wine and bread into the blood and body of Himself, and we receive Him in Holy Communion, let us beg Him to transform us by His grace so that we might have the courage and the ability to follow His Mother Mary's instructions to the servants at the feast. Do whatever He tells you. Praise be Jesus Christ. St. Raymond of Penafort, pray for us.